is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. I welcome Katrina Vandenhovel, the editorial director and publisher of The Nation magazine. And my subscription arrives regularly. So that's the first bar. But we go now to a new article in The Nation that speaks to a combination of events. The president's address to the United Nations, especially his remarks about climate and what is to be done, and the upcoming event in Glasgow, Scotland, called COP26. This is a meeting of the nations about what is to be done with climate change. The dates on that are 31 October to 12 November. Katrina, a very good evening to you. The president's address talked of money, donations, helping the poorer nations in this transition from a fossil fuel-driven global economy to what comes next. And the article by Andrew McCormick speaks to the reconciliation package that awaits Capitol Hill. And Andrew McCormick puts those two things together, the president's ambitions, COP26, with the reconciliation bill. How do they all fit together? Good evening, Katrina.
Good evening, John. They fit together because we've seen a dereliction of duty in these last few years on the climate emergency front. And I think in the reconciliation bill, which, you know, isn't getting – the climate piece of it isn't getting enough attention because, first of all, what's happening on Capitol Hill is very hard for ordinary people to make sense of. But the climate – piece of the infrastructure bill, and this is, you know, not just the $1.2 trillion bipartisan, but the $3.5 trillion over 10 years, includes significant investments in, among other things, public transit, electric vehicles, climate technology research, green housing, and my favorite, a civilian conservation corps for the 21st century, civilian climate corps, modeled after FDR's. But that, in a sense, is one piece of this administration's program, as it confronts in important ways what may be the big climate story of 2021, which is, as you said, John, COP26, this early November. That is going to be one of the most important climate diplomatic events in modern history, and it's going to go a long way towards deciding whether, you know, humanity preserves a livable planet. So I think, you know, this is it's a year of reckoning. I think it's always a problem because people are sick of the despair. They want to see what solutions are. And I'm interested that on websites now, a media that often didn't pay attention to climate change, climate emergency, has rubrics like extreme weather. The Weather Channel or the Washington Post has climate solutions because the media is an important part of this, alerting people and, you know, talking about what can be done. So I think this is going to be like Paris, which the United States withdrew from, as you know, the climate accord now back in. And I think it's going to be a global event as well as a very significant one for this country.
Andrew McCormick quotes from the president's speech to the United Nations, "To keep within our reach," said Mr. Biden. Now, that isn't just cash. We have policies that are not yet secure about switching away from fossil fuels. One of those policies has to do with fossil fuel industry, which is a vital part of our growth. And many, many millions of jobs are affected by the fossil fuel industry.
So I agree. But on the other hand, John, the market is going to begin to price out fossil fuels because these, you know, retrofitting, this is low-hanging fruit. Solar, this is going to be the wave of the future. And I do think you have Joe Manchin in West Virginia. You cannot go in and say to people who've worked in these industries, you include mining, like, your job is gone. That's it. But there are, it's like just transition is the term that is often used, coined by a former labor leader, Anthony Mazzocchi, who was in the mining unions, but this is a way to provide jobs that are more productive, that are going to give people a future, but you need a commitment, and you need to trust government, which is hard. But I do think that's going to be an important part of our future, and I think there's an overcounting of jobs, to be honest. And look at what's happening with the Exxon, and, you know, the business community in some ways is turning on oil and gas and fossil fuel because it's seen that there's been fraud committed where they're not telling the truth about their real asset numbers because so much of it's going to have to stay in the ground. So I think let's put, you know, COP will be important, but Biden's also right. And the movements which push Biden are right to say you got to bring your best game. It's very hard to do that, but this is an emergency. There's a story in the Washington Post today about a younger generation, and you know this. We were talking about Greta Thunberg. A younger generation sees out and sees a future that is of red skies and droughts and floods and emergencies. And I think there's more motivation in that arena than there is in Congress. For one obvious reason, John, and I'll stop, is the money. The fossil fuel companies have a lot of money to pave their way for another set of years. But there's also there are people who are looking at the future, and you cannot deny that extreme weather has afflicted this country and the world in these last years.
If I read Andrew McCormick correctly, what he has identified is a packaging, narrating, presenting, pitching problem about COP26, which is that the reconciliation bill is so big and has so many pieces that speak to other matters. The Democratic Party or Nancy Pelosi or whoever is in charge of this has not effectively communicated to the public that if this fails, then COP26 is
going to be consigned to trouble. All right. But here's the thing, John. First of all, it's $3.5 trillion over 10 years. OK, it's already been shaved down from $6 trillion, which was progressive aspiration. And, you know, we just spent billions and billions on defense program, having exited Afghanistan to rethink security is critical. But I do think the reconciliation bill has important parts, not too many parts. I mean, you have health care, you have child care, you have child tax credits. But it is a teeing up for a more successful COP. I think the media also plays a role. I think the media, you remember in 2018, John, the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Crisis, which came out of the UN, it barely got attention. It was a very important document. And I think one of the reasons The Nation has joined with The Guardian and CJR, Columbia Journalism Review, to start this Covering Climate Now, people should check it out. It's trying to transform media coverage of the climate emergency and its solutions. And we have weathercasters in South Carolina, which I, you know, think is critical, as well as the Times of India. I mean, there are about 2 billion people in this partnership. And, you know, I think Andrew, by the way, is part of it. He's a reporter for that. And part of what we're doing is also climate migration, talking international, John, talking developing world. That is, you know, really important, as are climate crimes. Covering Climate Now just commissioned an opinion poll to find out how many people realize big oil has been lying to them for 40 years. So it's critical that media cover this in ways that show the impact, also show the solutions.
Katrina's pointing you to a website,
coveringclimatenow.org. It has, of all people, Al Roker, longtime weather newscaster, is hosting the first ever awards show for Covering Climate Now. It's going to be streaming October 6th at The Nation, at The Guardian, at Columbia Journalism Review. But it brings together extraordinary winners in all medium, investigative, commentary. So it's one stipulation was, you know, that there be solutions in not a rosy way, but a way that people can play a part.
Coveringclimatenow.org is where to go. Katrina Vandenhoevel, the editorial director of The Nation magazine. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Bradley.